the Who's On podcast here in Charlotte, North Carolina for the ACC tip-off. You know this guy to my left here. It's David Teal from the Virginia Daily Pilot. David, a lot going on here today. Coming up on the podcast real quick, got UVA men's basketball coach Ryan Odom, guards Malik Thomas, Dallin Hall, ESPN Seth Greenberg, and another familiar face in former UVA guard Day-Day Ames, who's here with the Cal Golden Bears, of course.
Yeah, so you're telling me I'm dumbing down the podcast, given all your other guests.
We're starting with you, and we build up from here, right? No, but let's take just a picture at this UVA team right now. We've heard from Ryan Odom a couple times since he's taken over. It's, you know, a nice sight to kind of have some talk in the off season. But what is just your impression of this Virginia team right now? It's a lot of new faces, a lot of question marks about can you pull a team together like that. But what's your impression of this team right now?
Well, number one, the newness of it, that's the way of the world in college basketball. Yeah. And to the university's credit and to Ryan Odom's credit, they have embraced those changes. They haven't run from them, they've run toward them. And you can see it in the investment, in player compensation, and in the athletes they were able to procure with that. And yes, it's a new team, but it is a very promising team that I would imagine, Preston, when the ACC preseason poll comes out next week, I'd be surprised if Virginia's not in the top five.
Well, that brings up a good point, is just what's the ceiling, what's the basement, I guess, for this Virginia team. And I know it's hard because...
Yeah, because we really don't
we don't know anything about these teams.
Yeah, not only don't know anything about Virginia's team, we don't know anything about really any of the 18 squads gathered here. But let's put it this way. I think the ceiling is higher than the floor is low. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a lot more promise here than there is downside.
Yeah. And we're walking around, you know, this, you know, beautiful hotel here. We see Will Wade in the NC State gear. We see Jay Lucas now in Miami. Luke Locks at Florida State. There's a lot of new faces and a lot of new energy, it feels like, around ACC basketball this year.
There is. It's a modernized approach that I think everyone is bringing. I think you also see that personified in John Shire, at Duke, who's obviously had success in his three seasons since succeeding Mike Krzyzewski, reached the national championship game last year.
Yeah, I mean, in UNC, they're changing up how they do it. They're now adopting a more pro model. We don't have to talk about football today, David. We're talking about basketball.
I think the Tar Heels would approve of that decision. But yes, Hubert Davis and his program have pivoted to they have a general manager on board with Tar Heel roots. And they did go out in the portal and spend some money specifically on Henry Vissar. And, you know, one thing we heard from Hubert Davis all last year, it was so foreign to him given his history with the program, is they were small.
Yeah.
They didn't have bigs. They couldn't dominate people on the glass like they always have. Well, that's changed.
Yeah.
They went out and got them some bigs.
Yeah. I think Vissar is probably one of the more promising bigs in the league just this coming year. We talked about Duke a little bit here, but Louisville is the interesting team, just how quickly Pat Kelsey has gotten things going there. Another familiar face. We mentioned Day-Day Ames. Isaac McNeely is there now.
Yeah.
What impresses you about kind of what they did this offseason?
Well, what really impressed me was what they did last offseason.
Yeah, that's true.
To go from what, 2-18? Was it 2-18 to 18-2? Yeah. I mean, I may have those.
I think he had surpassed the win total by December.
Yeah. Yes, clearly. And you know, they're in the ACC championship game last year across the street against Duke. And then he had to flip it again pretty much. And Pat Kelsey was telling us today about all the boxes that he wants each of the prospects, be they high school or portal guys, to check. And especially he raved about Isaac McNeely. And one of the people he talked to at length about Isaac before taking him in the portal was Ron Sanchez. And I didn't realize this, but Coach Kelsey and Coach Sanchez have a long-standing relationship. He told a funny story. He said he was always interested in the pack line defense, but didn't have the courage as a younger coach to reach out to Tony Bennett when he was at Washington State. So he reached out to one of his staffers, who turned out to be Ron Sanchez. And lo and behold, they developed this friendship. And that friendship fueled a little bit of Isaac's going to Louisville.
Yeah. You'll notice people just walk in front.
Yeah,
that's what happens. It's everyone's working around here.
You would think an ESPN producer would know better, because that's who that was.
Looking at, we mentioned Will Wade, NC State. They're a really interesting kind of put together team. Just, it's kind of built in his image, but not a lot of size. What do you think of just kind of how he's, it seems like, bursted into the league just as the only way Will Wade can?
Well, yes. Having known Will from his time at VCU, as I know you do as well, he is a big personality. And he reminds me, actually, of, because I'm old enough to know this, of when Jim Valvano came to NC State from Iona. He wasn't going to let Duke and Carolina be the entire show in the Triangle. He was going to cause such a stir and such a ruckus that he was going to demand attention. And that's the way Will Wade operates. And when you do live in the shadows of Duke and Carolina, that's the way you have to be at NC State. Yeah. And I think, you know, the big acquisition there is Darion Williams. Yeah. I mean, if that guy's not first-team preseason All-ACC, the voters are doing it wrong, right? I mean, the guy was first-team All-Big 12.
You're doing the homework for the voters.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That one seems pretty obvious there.
To me, it does.
Yeah.
And maybe IMAC as well.
Yeah, maybe. Obviously, he's earned some ACC honors before, but... looking at the rest of the ACC, I think that's kind of when you get past the Virginia, the North Carolina, Duke, Louisville, NC State.
Yeah, beyond that top five.
That's when it gets interesting, but there are interesting teams out there. One of those, you know, forgive me, is Virginia Tech.
Oh, no. Maybe forgiveness to your listeners and observers. But no, I mean, Mike Young, yesterday, his enthusiasm is palpable.
It seems like it, yeah.
I mean, I think the phrase he used is, I am an undersell, overperform guy. But I'm telling you, I am really, really, really enthusiastic about this team. And again, investment, procuring that talent, and much like Ryan Odom in Virginia, they did it overseas. They went and got a Neo Avdalis out of Greece. They went and got an Antonio Dorn out of Germany. And those are the kinds of players that really, really have an extra bounce in Mike Young's step.
I'm glad you brought up the international part of this. And that's kind of why I brought up Virginia Tech, because I've talked to Seth today. I talked to Ryan about it, because it seems to be such a big part of college basketball moving forward is, you know, we mentioned veteran teams. You're bringing in a 22-year-old freshman this year to come into college basketball. It kind of changes the landscape of college basketball when you got guys like Testa Ritter and Johan Grunlo coming in.
They're pros.
Yeah.
These are European and international pros coming to the college game, and I counted up on ACC rosters alone, we're talking about 20-plus.
Wow.
It's amazing, the influx. And I've talk to some of the international players, and they say, we're just the beginning, that this is going to be more and more a part of the college game. And nobody shies away for the reason. And the reason is they get paid.
Yeah.
And they can make more money playing college basketball and gain more exposure playing college basketball than they can overseas playing professionally.
Hey, it's not a coincidence that this rush all started with revenue sharing and NIL, just the way it is right now. And, I mean, why go waste away on the back of a NBA roster or in the G League when you can come to college for a year, get some money, and then improve your stock and go to the, you know, the NBA the next year?
And oh, by the way, looking at a lot of those European leagues and international leagues, the working conditions in college basketball, especially major college basketball, are a heck of a lot better. You're getting fed. You're flying charter. Whereas, you know, overseas, you're on harrowing bus rides and who knows what else.
I know it's early. How many teams from this conference do you think theoretically have a good chance going into this year?
Oh, You mean to make the
tournament? That's what that's what we're judged on at the end of the day.
Yes, and that's why the narrative surrounding the conference has been so bad.
Yeah,
and they all the coaches and administrators know November and December is critical, and that's why they pivoted from 20 to 18 games in the league schedule to give programs more flexibility on the non-conference side. That's why you see Virginia playing Ohio State in Nashville.
Yeah,
you know that's a primary example of the benefits, the theoretical benefits of trimming the non-conference schedule. But you know, if the SEC can get 14 teams in the bracket as it did last year, then absolutely the ACC with 18 teams should certainly look to get 8, 9, maybe even 10 teams in. Now, can that happen this season that quickly? I don't know.
Yeah.
But certainly it's got to be more than a handful.
I think
that's what it's been.
8's got to be the target. I think that's a healthy number for the conference, you know, on a yearly basis. You know, we're not exactly in the days of, I can't remember what years it was, but for the ACC was putting 10-plus teams in the NCAA tournament, but it's been a while.
Or like 2019 when 3 of the 4 number one seeds, including the eventual national
champions. It seems like yesterday, but it also seems like maybe 15 years ago.
Exactly.
It's been crazy, but this Virginia team, just to bring it full circle back here.
Sure.
Is there one thing that you're most curious about this team? Outside of the chemistry, we talk about that ad nauseum, but anything that you're curious about?
DeRitter.
Okay.
I mean, to boil it down, I'm just so eager to see him play because we've heard so much about him. Yeah, you can watch the YouTube and all that, but it doesn't do it justice. And then just to see just the stylistic change and transition from Tony Bennett / Ron Sanchez to Ryan Owen. It's going to be different. Watching the fans respond to that. You know, there's not going to be as many shot clock violations to cheer for in JPJ, and I think the fan base is going to be okay with that.
Yeah, I think there's a after last season, they're fine with whatever as long as it's winning basketball games.
As long as it's winning.
Exactly. And scoring points is fun for everyone. I mean, we're seeing that with football this year.
Yeah.
And no one's complaining about, you know, a shootout against Florida State a couple weeks ago.
No, especially when it ends the way it did.
Yeah, in double overtime. All right, that's David Teal. I've got head coach Ryan Odom coming up next year on the Who's On podcast. Welcome into the ACC tip-off here in Charlotte on the Who's On podcast. I've got this guy right here, head coach of the Virginia men's basketball team, Ryan Odom. Ryan, thanks for being here. What's it feel like? This is your first ACC tip-off.
Yeah, this is exciting. Yeah. No, it really is. I'm excited for Dallin and for Malik to experience this. And obviously, there's a ton of excitement for our league right now. I think the coaches and staffs have put together some excellent rosters, and I think everybody's kind of ready to go now.
Yeah. Y'all, you've had a tough task of trying to introduce this team with so many new pieces to the Virginia fan base. You did the Proving Grounds, but what do you think defines this team so far that you've been around them?
Yeah, I think the character, you know, first and foremost, I've been really impressed, you know, with the guys overall. Personally, you know, they look out for one another. They compete really hard. They're trying to chase excellence every day that we're in the gym together or even outside of the gym academically. And so it's been really fun to watch them get acclimated to UVA, to Charlottesville, and most importantly, themselves. And they're a pretty tight group so far to have all been new.
Yeah. You look at this team and kind of how it's put together, a lot of shooting, a lot of ball handlers. Is this kind of what you envision this first team looking like, kind of the pieces that you have?
Yeah, you never know how it's going to shake out, especially when you have that much turnover in one season. You know, but for us, I thought our staff, you know, did a really nice job of putting together, you know, quality pieces that match one another and size, you know, for each position. Skill level certainly is always really, really important. And, you know, I think they're going to complement one another.
You look at the international guys, I know we've talked about them so often, but it's kind of the international man of mystery because you're seeing them kind of in person for the first time. What do Tess and Johan kind of look like in this program?
They're different, you know, from one another. One, you know, is 19 years old and 7 feet and extremely talented, you know, can shoot the basketball, can block shots. Tess, you know, is a little bit older, more seasoned. We call him the tank, you know, because he's just, he's kind of a bully at times, but one of the best guys off the court. And so, again, those two will complement each other, you know, really, really well.
Looking at, I think I'm back at your introductory press conference, I asked you about kind of this new landscape of college basketball, but yeah. The general manager model that's kind of going around.
Yep.
I know that was something on the plate for maybe after this first roster. Where do you kind of see that position?
Yeah, I think eventually, you know, it will happen for us. So we have not, you know, tabled it at all or moved in another direction. We have someone on our staff, and Griff Aldrich, who's obviously went to UVA Law. He's familiar from a contractual standpoint, things that are really important as you're going through the transfer portal and dealing with those types of things. And so we have that experience there that we need, and the staff is recruited together for a while and familiar with the area and just the ACC geographic footprint as it sits now. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't be beneficial for us, you know, long term. And I wanted to get through the first recruiting period iteration at Virginia before moving in that direction.
You look at the ACC, so many new faces coming in, Will Wade on NC State. Jay Lucas, not a new face in the ACC, but down in Miami, Luke Locks, Florida State. What do you think of where this conference is right now?
Yeah, we're really excited about the conference. I mean, obviously, you know, great coaches throughout our league. And, you know, just been really impressed in our conference meetings, you know, getting a chance. Some I know really well, others just kind of getting to know. But really competitive group. And I think each, you know, athletic director slash, you know, coaching staff has really refocused for the ACC this year. I think done a nice job of putting some excellent rosters together that's going to make ACC basketball this year really fun.
Last thing, I talked to Seth Greenberg. That interview is coming later on the podcast, but he mentioned some bunk beds. who had top bunk? Who had bottom bunk?
It was twin beds, not bunk. Twin beds, all right, side by side. But, I was fortunate enough to get a chance to meet him at a very young age, ironically, in Charlottesville when he was with UVA and Coach Holland and my father, 1984. What a year that was, you know, Final Four.
And, came the right time.
and then reconnected with him later in life and certainly have always, you know, stayed in touch and so appreciative of him helping me get into business.
Ryan, I know you got a lot more on your plate today. We've got basketball season just around the corner. You got some scrimmages coming up, but I appreciate you stopping by here on the Who's On podcast.
Absolutely.
Man. Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I'm here in Charlotte at ACC Tip-Off. I've got the man, ESPN, Seth Greenberg, joining me now. And I wanted to talk about your former roommate way back in the day. I know you were there in 83-84. I think I got the years right.
Absolutely.
At UVA. And then 7 years with Odom on your staff at Virginia Tech. Tell me about Ryan, just as you've seen him throughout the years.
Well, you know, obviously the first time I spent a lot of time with him was before I found an apartment in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I lived with the Odoms for about 3 weeks, and there was bunk beds. Ryan had the top, I had the bottom. Miss Odom, Lynn, she literally took care of me. It was kind of a tough move from Pittsburgh after getting let go, and Dave was so gracious. Dave helped me get the job with Coach Holland. I tell people all the time, I mean, that time and that 1 year at Virginia, in a lot of ways, shaped who I am today and changed my life. But, you know, Ryan, my fondest memory of Ryan back then really was, in the evening, like, I'd go over to the Odom's house for dinner, and Ryan, after dinner, we'd go downstairs, watch TV, and Ryan had the ability to imitate every single free throw shooter on the team. So we would just, like, fire an Odom Polonaise, and boom, right to the nut. Tom Sheehy, boom, Othell Wilson. And he could absolutely imitate every one of those guys on a Nerf basket. So that's going to be a challenge for you guys to get him to.
I was going to say, I'm going
to
have to ask him.
One more time. But you know, I think that the interesting thing about Ryan is played for a great college coach.
Yeah.
Stad is a Hall of Fame coach, in my opinion. He didn't miss any steps. You know, he came up in a basketball environment, which is in a lot of ways being just surrounded by the game. But he also embraced the journey. He didn't miss any steps. So he was my graduate assistant first at South Florida before he went on with Jeff Jones. You know, he was a Division II coach before he was a Division I coach. So when you don't miss any steps, you learn to make mistakes and play through your mistakes. You also learn to develop an identity and kind of understand what you're comfortable. You know, like I always say, who are you and how do you win? You know, he has a very good understanding, and it's evolved. How he's playing has evolved through the years to the point where he surely has an identity offensively, defensively. So I'm just really proud of him. I've seen his smile. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago. It might have been at the football stadium when he was introduced. You know, and listening to him here, say he fell in love with basketball at Virginia. I mean, he lived literally right around the corner from U-Haul. And those were some really, really exciting times. So it's pretty cool.
Is it a full circle moment, kind of seeing him come back around and now as the head coach of Virginia for you?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I always thought Coach Odom, Dave, was going to be the next head coach at Virginia following Coach Holland. And obviously the great success he had at, you know, Wake Forest, you know, he had an incredible, incredible career. But I just thought that Dave and now Ryan, fit is really important.
Yeah.
You know, fit is really important. And Ryan is a great fit because he understands the history of tradition, the lawn, being a first year. I mean, he understands everything there is about the university first before even, you know, being the head basketball coach at Virginia.
I think we've talked about it enough, but we know it's going to be a much different style of basketball coming up this year. Is it going to be a little bit of a culture shock seeing kind of what Ryan brings into Charlottesville this season?
I don't think it'll be a culture shock in that because that's how he plays and that's what he was hired to do. He's not reinventing himself by saying, well, I'm going to play differently than Coach Bennett. No, this is his style. Coach Bennett, incredibly, goodness gracious, the success he had, the dominance he had in the league. And, you know, that's who they were and how they won. And that's what they recruited to. And that's the buy-in they got. Ryan's going to get a similar buy-in, but it's just a different style of play. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to be successful. And every coach, the most important thing is have a staff that understands who can play for the head coach, who fits the system, and then give that coach the resources to recruit the players and build the program. So, I just think he'll do a terrific job. I think that he understands the responsibility of being the head coach at Virginia is far greater than just the position of being the head coach at Virginia.
We've seen it a lot this age in the transfer portal, but almost a whole new roster coming to Charlottesville this year. Just what have you made of early impressions? I know we got a couple weeks here, but early impressions of this roster.
Yeah, I'm going to go and watch some practice on Friday.
There you go.
And so I'll have a better in-person look, but got legitimate size and depth in size. You've got shot making. You've got old. You know, when you're bringing 22-year-old freshmen into campus that have international experience, you've got proven scoring in Malik, who is a legitimate scorer. The depth they have across the board, they were able to acquire the talent that fits the style of play.
Yeah.
And I think that was the attraction to acquire the talent. And they were also given the resources to be able to acquire the talent. So Ryan has a definite plan. I think there's an attraction to his style of play. I think it'll be embraced without a doubt. And nothing against how they played prior.
Sure.
It's just I think that sometimes change is good. And it would be foolish for Ryan Odom to try to be Tony Bennett. Ryan Odom's got to be Ryan Odom.
Yeah.
And he's got to play a style of basketball that he is comfortable with and feels like he can be successful with, which he has been. So, you know, you don't do what he's been able to do at the different places, including Division II, without kind of sharpening the knife of understanding exactly who you want to be. And I think that it's going to be an exciting time. I mean, I think JPJ will be jumping. He'll embrace the responsibility and the role of, you know, leading basically Virginia to the next iteration of challenging for championships.
I know he's joked that he's got the gray to match Tony Bennett now.
He does have the gray. They kind of, you know, they're starting to look a lot alike. I used to tell Tony all the time, he started to look more and more like his dad. Ryan, when they see these videos, and I actually, I need to go, his mannerisms are so much like his dad. And his speech pattern at times are so much like his dad, which I think is it's the way it should be.
You mentioned the international part of that. That's become a big thing, especially around the ACC. You look at Virginia Tech and now UVA with Testa Ritter and Johan Grunlo. What do you make of the international imports into college basketball right now?
You know, this isn't Ryan's first time getting into this, so he has a little bit of background and trust and respect, but you're getting 22-year-old freshmen. You're getting guys that have played at the very highest level in international competition. You're getting guys that played against pros and trained with pros for years. You think about it, so our 8 22-year-olds, they might have played grassroots basketball, USA basketball. All right, but they're playing with their peers. These international players, they're training with grown men. They're being coached by hard, demanding accountability, responsibility, you know, like almost right is wrong. Show and get to work. There's no negotiation when you plan overseas. So like those guys, since they're probably 16 years old, 17 years old, or 22 now, they've been coached hard. And they haven't been enabled. And they learned how to play. And not just individually, but collectively. So they're going to be both very, very good.
Looking big picture now, since we're here in Charlotte, ACC tip-off. The ACC this year, I know it's been a couple down years. Are we going to see an uptick with some of the new blood in the ACC? What do you think?
Four new coaches came in, and four new coaches went to basically the administration and said, what's our rev share?
Yeah.
What's our NIL, which is pay for play? And, you know, it used to be, all right, what's our practice facility look like? What are our facilities? Now it's basically, there's a cost of doing business. Your investment equals your expectation. If you want to be successful at a high level in college athletics, especially basketball, there's a cost of doing business. And these new coaches that came in, have come in, have all basically, that was, I'm sure, their first question. Because you want to have a chance. These are really good coaches. Really good coaches without resources are really good coaches. Really good coaches with resources have a chance to build championship caliber programs. So I think the league has done a really good job. There are more teams that have invested in their programs. And when you invest in the program, there'll be a return on the investment because you have really good coaches. So I think the league got to win games in November and December. You got to build your league resume. Yeah. If you build your league resume, then you have a chance to, when you get in the league play, beat each other up, and you're still going to get a quad one loss or quad one win or quad two win. And those wins basically build the league's resume for the NCAA tournament.
You got your Dukes, UNC, Louisville. I mean, those are a lot of teams that people like going into the year. Any other teams that kind of spark your interest going into the season?
Yeah, I think Virginia's going to be very good. I think Virginia Tech's going to be much improved. Yeah. There's no denying. And I think SMU is probably a team that's undervalued. They returned three guys. Style of play is interesting. NC State style of play, they've really done well in the portal with Darian Williams. In high school ranks with Matt Abel. They just got a big kid overseas, Sanjia, Musa Sanjia, I think that's the correct pronunciation, who's really good. The league's going to be good. The bottom of the league has got to invest. And the bottom of the league invests, and the depth of the league will be a real factor.
Seth, we got to get you back to Charlottesville sometime for game day. Although I say that, but UVA is 1-5 on game day when they're involved. So I don't know if we want that.
I don't know the records. At Virginia Tech, I was 1-1 on game day, and we beat Duke. But
there you go.
But I'm excited for Ryan. And you know, that year I spent in Charlottesville was a life changing experience for me. And you know, I'm always appreciative to the good people I met there, and obviously Coach Holland, Coach Odom, and that year's experience.
All right, ESPN Seth Greenberg, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast here in Charlotte for the ACC tip-off. I got two of the newer faces for this Virginia. I mean, all new faces, really. Right? I mean, besides Elijah, Carter, and Dez, but I got Malik Thomas, and I got Dallin Hall here. Guys, how's it going being here, wearing the UVA gear? Just what's this kind of day like for you guys?
I mean, it's been a great experience. Just connecting with this place of University of Virginia, it's been an honor. Just seeing the history, and the people that came before us. It's been great to just connect with this place, honestly, before anything, and just getting after it every day, just staying consistent and having fun playing this game.
Dallin, I know that, you know, we've seen that, you know, the pieces, they look great on paper. How does it look on the court now that y'all started practicing?
It's a lot of fun, man. Like, we have a lot of fun. Coach O has us playing a great style of basketball, sharing the ball, playing hard defensively. Obviously, we still have room to grow, but we feel like we're trending in the right direction, and just love playing with the guys that they brought in. Like, Coach did a great job of bringing in high-character dudes who really care about the V that we wear on the front of our chest, and so it's a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun year.
Y'all, you had an interesting moment recently on the Proving Grounds episode that just came out. Very beginning of the episode, it's you, and I think, I can't remember which coach you were with, but you're going through a play where you kick out to the corner and stuff like that. I don't know if you recognize that play or if you know that play, but Virginia fans picked up on it immediately. It's the play that Ty Jerome kicked out to DeAndre Hunter for the game-tying three in the Final Four. Did you realize that, or do you know, like, that history?
You know, I have to say, I didn't put two and two together until that episode came out. But it's obviously, anytime you get put in the same sentence as Ty Jerome, like, that's a big compliment. Like Malik was saying, you know, we really are grateful for the players who've came before us. We feel like we stand on their shoulders and everything they've built. So happy to be a part of that, and hopefully we continue to build on what they've built.
Malik, I know you've wanted to get to this level, be back in a power conference, be in the ACC. I talked to your dad before. He was like, you know, we got the North Carolina and the Duke games highlighted, all those stuff. What's it like kind of getting ready for this season, seeing the schedule, seeing the times, and kind of where you're going to be going this year and the competition you're facing?
I mean, it's been honestly amazing. We're a team that's not going to run away from any type of competition, and we're going to be ready for any team on our schedule. So obviously we have those big games highlighted, but every game is important to us because we know what it's going to take to, you know, play our best basketball in March, and we're just going to continue to keep growing and keep getting better.
It's ACC tip-off. People are going to come and go right in front of the camera. But talk about, I know it's been a lot of offense over the offseason. Have you gotten into the defense yet? Dallin, what is that side of the ball looking like for you guys?
It's a lot of fun. You know, we have some really great, bright defensive minds with Coach Henry and Darius, Coach Darius. And so it's a lot of fun. We pick up full court. It's a new system for a lot of us, but we feel like we're adjusting well, and they're really challenging us on that end to be great. And that's something that this staff has been known for recently, and so we want to make sure we embody that and impose our will on the defensive end.
I've heard a couple times, this guy talks the entire time throughout practice. He's always talking. He's one of the loudest guys. Can you attest to that?
I can. This guy, we just had a question about who the best trash talker is. I think it's Malik as well. Like, he brings great energy for our team, great leadership. There's a lot of days where maybe the energy isn't where it needs to be, and he helps us get it right. So we just are continually focused on making the most of each day and continuing to get better.
As a point guard, how does Dallin kind of set the team up on the court but also off the court?
I mean, Dallin is a world-class just human being at heart. I mean, just the kind of person he is just he naturally connects everybody and naturally just has an eye for just knowing what to say and when to say it. So, I mean, he's a great point guard on the court, but he's an even better point guard off the court, just orchestrating team meals and team gatherings and just making sure everybody just hangs out and just have some fun outside of basketball. So he just does a great job and a great leader as well.
Last thing is, a lot of people talk about so many new faces on this team. How do you kind of come together and get ready? I'm sure that's the question y'all are going to get a lot today. Oh, yeah. With as many new faces on this team, how is that process going? And I mean, is it something that y'all think about much?
I mean, yeah, obviously this is how college basketball is trending, just a lot of new faces. But I think it goes back to the quality of people we have, high-character guys. So when something goes wrong, that we know how to connect with each other and connect with the people around us, because we know that we're going to lean on the brother next to us to, you know, when someone's not having their best day. So it's been honestly great just seeing all the new faces come along and how well we gel together.
Dallin, same thing. Just how has that process gone? What
What have y'all done to kind of make it a little bit smoother, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, our two goals going into the summer was to really connect with one another. And that's been a lot of off the court time, doing activities together, whether that's bowling. Like, we didn't realize we had some incredible bowlers on the team. Or, you know, paintball, just different things, trying to get together. And our second goal was to really connect to the place. And we feel like, to UVA, I should say. And obviously the people who have come before us have made it an incredible program, and we want to build on that. And so we've taken the time to explore grounds and learn more about UVA history, hear from some of the greats who have walked through UVA basketball. And so we've just tried to combine all that to an overall buy-in to what we're trying to do here at UVA.
Well, guys, I know y'all got a lot more left on your plate today, but I appreciate you coming on here. That's Malik Thomas,
yes, sir.
Dallin Hall.
Appreciate
we'll
you.
See y'all in a couple weeks back in Charlottesville.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast here in Charlotte for the ACC tip-off. Familiar face here for a lot of Virginia fans. I got Day-Day Ames here, now with the Cal Golden Bears. Just down the road in the ACC, man. How is life treating you out there in the Bay?
It's going real good. You know, it's a lot of getting used to the time and stuff, but it's going real good though.
Yeah. Have you looked at that matchup yet? Virginia, Cal, maybe see some, not too many familiar faces, but maybe a couple.
What you mean?
Just like guys that, you know, Elijah's still there, yeah. Dez still with the program, some of the guys that you played with last year. You excited to see those guys?
Yeah, it's going to be real fun to come back to Virginia, play them guys. It's going to be real fun.
Yeah. You've had a career, you've gone to a couple different places. What is kind of your journey taught you so far about this game of basketball?
I learned a lot from all three schools, actually, because I'm learning from this school right now. Yeah. But, like, at Kansas State, I learned how to play more of a point guard role. You know, at Virginia, I played the point guard role, and during the other half of the season, I was more of a scoring role, too. So I learned a lot coming from all two in this school right here.
I got to think that maybe last year, one of your maybe favorite moments was that Pitt game on the road where you were just putting up buckets. What do you remember about that game? Are there any other memorable moments from last year?
You know, it's crazy. That game, right after the layup line, we was going to the coaches. Somebody had bumped me. Like, the other team had bumped me. I don't know. That just kind of upset me a lot. And I feel like that made me more locked in the game. And after that, it's history.
That sounds like one of those, like, Michael Jordan things you hear. It's like, he didn't really slight you, but you use that as motivation in that.
Yeah, so.
What was last season like? Because I know, you know, we talked about it last year, I'm sure, but you know, Tony retiring just after this week last year and kind of everything else the season, you know, with Ron Sanchez and just kind of how that season progressed. What was that experience like?
It was kind of hard, but, you know, got through it, you know, stayed confident. And when my time came, I showed why I was supposed to be there.
What do you keep in contact with a lot of guys from last year still? Who do you talk to still?
Really everybody. You know, we got a group chat, so we sometimes be texting in the group chat, checking up on each other and stuff.
A lot of guys said that experience kind of brought y'all closer as a team, and I guess that shows if y'all are still talking to this day. But
yeah.
I mean, was it just a lot more like kind of together time, or just how did that like spur y'all to come closer as a team?
Really, it was more like being together, you know. Even during the coaches, too, you know, I feel like we had better relationship with the coaches and the assistant coaches when Tony Bennett left. So I feel like that was a good experience, learning experience.
Now at Cal, what are you looking forward to about this season?
Really just to win, you know. Coach Massey is going to give me a lot of freedom to play with. He gives all his players freedom to play with. So really just going out to win and compete.
When you entered the transfer portal, what were you looking for, and how do you think you found that at Cal?
Main one, I was looking for freedom, you know, a coach that's going to let me play my game the way I want to play. And then, really, just win. I want to be a part of a winning team, a winning program. So, and I feel like California has that.
All right, that's a familiar face with Day-Day Ames, now Cal Golden Bear. But we'll see him this year in ACC play, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir.